Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle
Young with For His Glory Ministry. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Everything we do is
for His glory.
Thank you. Our ministry is to help you see the Bible through Jewish eyes, through Hebrew eyes, and bring the specific revelation that God has given us to you. We start studying as Jewish people at age 5, and we continue throughout our life, and I want to share the benefits and things that God has given us with you. Today, we're doing something that's quite interesting, help you see things that are not normally seen in a text without a deeper understanding of the Jewish context, the language, the culture, the customs, the traditions, and bring that to bear. In a moment, Danielle's going to read. You should all have your Bibles with you, something to write with, and the tapes of this show and others will be available at our ministry website, which we'll repeat again later for you, but it is located at
www.forhisglory.org.
Go right to our website and press catalog, particular button. It'll take you to all our tapes that we have done, radio shows, and also our two books that we've done, and feel free, we'll talk about that again later. Danielle is going to read to us from the New Testament in the book of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, chapter 6, verses 1 through 4.
Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your right hand know what your left hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be seen in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly.
Amen. Amen. This is an interesting thing. Many times we read things in the Bible and they just go right over our head, or we just duck. One way or another, we miss it. So we need to pay more attention to these things in order to be able to understand what God is saying to us. So I want you to sharpen up your spiritual antenna. And when you read something, if you don't know what it means, start looking, seeking, asking God for the information. There must be a reason He wrote this, isn't there? He wrote it for us. He wants us to understand what this is all about. What is the point here? There's an idiom in here. What does it mean here? Danielle read it earlier in 6:2 Matthew. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. So what does this mean? Don't sound a trumpet. What's a trumpet?
An instrument that, like a wind instrument.
Yeah, a wind instrument.
Like a trumpet.
Pretty much a trumpet like a trumpet. Yeah, I think hopefully we're all familiar with the trumpet, or back in biblical days, a shofar, S-H-O-F-A-R, shofar. And the point being, well, is that what it's saying here, really? It says in Matthew 6:2, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, so you're doing a charitable deed. You're doing something worthwhile, charitable.
Right.
Do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. So the hypocrites, when they do something, somehow they're sounding a trumpet before them and in the streets. So what is the picture that comes to our mind? God's making a distinction. When you do something that's right, a charitable deed, I want you to do it in this manner, but not in that manner. So this is one of those thou shalt nots, which, by the way, we have throughout the Bible, including in the New Testament, for those who need to know. This is a thou shalt not. This is a thou shalt not. So you have to be able to say, what is this when you ask, sound a trumpet? You're not to sound a trumpet. So what does that mean? Does it mean someone standing before you with an instrument and going back and forth in the street and calling attention to an act that somebody's doing? Possible?
Possible.
But it doesn't sound like it, does it?
No.
We don't read about that anyway. This is what you call an idiom. How would you explain to somebody, go down the road a bit and I want you to take that fork in the road and go to the left over there. What does that mean? There's a fork in the road?
No, it doesn't.
No? What does it mean to kick the bucket? Or tell somebody, Go have a great time and in a theater, do a great show, go break a leg.
Well, those are all American idioms, so we understand what it means here.
What's an idiom then? It's an idiom to be taken literally?
No.
Okay, so it cannot be fully defined by the words themselves. It has another meaning.
Right.
Well, that's a problem for foreigners as well as for Native Americans to know the idioms of a culture and the customs thereof. If we don't know them, we may be at times subject to our own interpretation and taking that in a way that it was never meant to be. We had done that in an earlier teaching, which we refer you back to our website, forwardsglory.org, that we did a teaching just recently on the rod of discipline and demonstrating biblically and clearly and with the very character of God that the rod is not a rod as people would understand it to be. So the name of this teaching is Sounding a Trumpet, and sounding a trumpet as a Jewish idiom. Sounding a trumpet as a Jewish idiom. So God's telling you, thou shalt not. If I don't know what I'm not supposed to do, how can I make sure that I'm not going to do it? I need to know what it is in order to make sure I don't go do that.
Right.
Because God says, when you do something good, you do a charitable deed, I want you to do it this way. If you don't, it's going to cost you. Again, in Matthew 6:2, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the street. So the hypocrites do it in two modes, don't they? They do it in a place of worship, in a place of praise and honor before God, in a place of worship, the synagogue where you come together, also in the streets themselves. There's trouble here. What is a sounding a trumpet? In Hebrew, it's kol truah. Kol truah. Kol means a voice, a shout, a cry, a blast. The truah means like a blast as of a trumpet. So it's idiomatically understood as a blast of a trumpet, or a shout, the sound of a shout. Truah. Yom truah means the day of the shout or the blast. That in Jewish holidays, Yom Teruah is commonly the Feast of Trumpets,
mm-hmm.
which is really the word trumpets is not there at all. But it's Yom Teruah, the day of the blast or the awakening blast. It's just also understood for that. Now, this is very interesting, and I want you to get for your own studies a book by Brad Young, and it's called Jesus and His Jewish Parables. It's an in-depth study, and it'll do quite good for you. Also, Alfred Edersheim's book called The Temple. Let's give you the background to this to set the stage. In the temple, there was a place called the Court of the Women. The Court of the Women was upwards about 200 foot square, and there was a simple colonnade all around. And within it and along the wall were 13 collection boxes, 13 collection boxes or chests, and they were used for almsgiving. They were used for alms. Now, this is very interesting. They were narrowed at the top. As it came to the top, they were narrowed at the mouth and wide at the bottom. They were trumpet-shaped.
Mm-hmm.
Without knowing the background of the temple, what this is, how that was done, this verse in the New Testament doesn't make any sense. You don't know how to use this information in order to make sure you don't do that God warns against.
Mm-hmm.
So let's bring you back 2,000 years approximately to the first century, put you in the times and the customs and the culture and in the footsteps where the Messiah walked in order that you could see more clearly what he said, these timeless truths within a culture and customs and times that people understood it totally and completely.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we, if Danielle, you and I would invite somebody over for Thanksgiving, would they wonder what we're having to eat?
No.
Would they wonder what the main course is?
Nope.
Why not?
Because we know what Thanksgiving is.
Right, but Thanksgiving is particularly and peculiarly an American holiday. A person coming from mainland China or the Philippines or South America
would not know.
No, and by the converse, they also have at times customs and holidays that we wouldn't know how to even begin to celebrate that customer holiday, would we? you're just joining us, we're teaching a show today called Sounding a Trumpet as a Jewish Idiom. We're in the New Testament. Daniel read from Matthew 6, 1 to 4. And we're talking about in the temple, in a court of the women, which was upwards of 200 foot square, along the wall were 13 collection boxes that were used for almsgiving. When you gave alms, you gave charitable gifts. Where did you give it to the guy in the front who had his hand out and just waiting for the money? What did you do? So how and what did you do? These were 13 collection boxes that were narrowed at the mouth, wide at the bottom. They were trumpet-shaped. Each one was specifically marked. And I think by the end of this, prayerfully, a lot of churches, church congregations, and ministries would institute aspects of this here and the principle, without doubt, in their ministries, you'll just see how beautiful it is by the time we're done. Each of these was specifically marked. 9 were legally due almsgiving, and 4 were voluntary gifts. 9, how many are there? There's 13. 9 were their various legal almsgivings that had to be done throughout Jewish teaching. 4 of those, of the 13, the last 4 were voluntary. You wanted to give, which is something we should have in our heart. That's not just a New Testament or Old Testament or particular covenant. That's got to come out of the heart. You want to give. Why do you want to give? There's a need. You see, there's a need. You want to do something about it. And one of the ways in this world is also materially. If someone's hungry, you need to feed them. In the book of James, it tells you very clearly, if someone's hungry, you don't say, well, you know, God bless you when it's in your power to do good, and you walk away and you don't feed them, you don't clothe them. You take care of them. You help them and meet a need. God wants to bless them through you. Let's look at these specifically. Trumpet number 1 and 2 were for the half shekel tribute of the temple and of the current and the past year. There was a trumpet number 1. Trumpet number 2 were for the half shekel temple tribute. You had to bring a half a shekel in and legally give that as part, if you study the redemption price. Everybody, the rich to the poor, God mandated in the Torah, in the Bible, how much you had to give. Half a shekel, God said, everybody could afford that. That's what you're going to pay as a price for your redemption. That goes in trumpet number 1, and it goes in trumpet number 2. You put it in this account. That's when you come in, you're legally bound, put it in those. Number 1, number 2. Trumpet number 3, the women bringing turtle doves for a burnt offering and a sin offering would put in their appropriate equivalent of money, which was exchanged then for the turtle doves. This saved time and protected the sensitivities of the poor from keeping their circumstances or their offerings from being publicly known. That's very interesting. If you were too poor, it's a shameful thing. Not everybody walks up to say, hi, how are you? Hi, I'm fine, I'm poor.
Yeah.
No one you know is proud to say they're poor, even if they are poor. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel right. For many, it's a shameful place to be. And it's hurtful. Especially you turn around, you're trying to take care of your kids. And there's a bunch of hungry mouths and clothes and sickness and disease. And you don't feel capable or able to meet their needs. Now you come into the holy temple of God, and you're before the public eye. And God has mandated ways to protect your shame. He said, at this particular trumpet, number 3, we're going to make an exchange here and take care of it. So by the time you step away from this, you're able to go back out there and make the appropriate sacrifices. People are not going to know all that's going on. We'll do this over here. Period. So by the time you step out of here, you're covered. It's a key principle. Protecting someone's shame. We need to do that better. We need to do that a lot better. We're talking about the 13 trumpets in the court of the women in the temple of God in biblical times, in the past. We did the first 3. Trumpet number 4 received the equivalent value for the offerings of young pigeons. That's what the 4th one was for. There was sacrifice of turtle doves, there's sacrifices of young pigeons. There's each one had another specific value and place to do business. Period. Trumpet number 5 were for the contributions for the wood used in the temple. That was specifically used for the wood. Very interesting. You can go through your life as a Christian for 20, 30 years and never hear this, never know this. Read Matthew 6, 1-4, talks about sounding a trumpet. You don't have a clue what that means. Trying to read in from our culture, and I'm here as an American and proud to be one, but I don't have any clue. And as a good student in school in American history, and said, there's no clue of what this means. We have to go back to another time and place for that history to see it as Bible believers and see what the New Testament means through Hebrew eyes. Trumpet number 6 was for incense, specifically for that purpose. And these ones all can obviously each be developed out more fully. Trumpet number 7, very interesting, for the golden vessels of the ministry. Trumpet number 8, and the extra money left over after a sin offering purchase, if so, went into there. And that's where it went specifically. Now follow me, this is a little complicated. We're in the temple. We're in the court of the women. Or lining the wall were all these chests for giving alms. They were trumpet-shaped vessels that were round at the bottom, narrowed up at the mouth, in which you would drop your various givings, specifically one for one for one. So I'm putting your feet back in the temple time.
Were they called trumpets?
Yes, I believe so. They're known as trumpets, and there's 13 of them there. And these are the markings and purposes. So now we did the first 8. Yes, Danny?
I thought trumpets would be trumpets, like what we think of as of a wind instrument.
Sure, because what we do when we don't know, we read back our understanding or our culture back into it.
Wow.
Which is really unfair.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be able to ask better questions to get the better answer. Now let's look at the last 4. Trumpets 9, 10, 11, 12 was for whatever was left from over the trespass offerings, the offerings for the birds, Nazirite offerings, the cleansed leper, and the voluntary offerings. Now, this area where the 13 trumpets were placed is most likely in the temple in the treasury. And it's very interesting, if you turn with me to John chapter 8, 20, I want to put you right where Jesus' feet are and listen to what happens over here. John chapter 8, verse 20. These words, let's go back to 19. Then they said to him, "Where is your father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my father. If you had known me, you would have known my father also." These words Jesus spoke in the treasury. Where's that? Just where we're talking about. So Jesus spoke these in the treasury. You should say, where is that? What is that? What is a treasury? What's going on there? Who, what, when, where, how, why? So Jesus is there. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid his hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. We put Jesus right at that scene. Very interesting. Now, another interesting note is that due to the particular designations of each of the almsgiving boxes or trumpets, one can tell the difference of the contributions of the rich or poor based on which trumpet they went to. With that background, listen to Mark 12, 41 to 44. This is now you have background to understand the Bible. Now, Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. You know who put what into where now. And Jesus is watching what each one is doing as they go put their money, their alms, into different things in each one of the 13 different trumpets. And he's sitting, he's watching. You now know what he's watching. You are able to understand what he is seeing to some degree. Better than a little while ago. And many rich put in much. Then one poor woman came in and threw in 2 mites, which makes 4 quadrants. So he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." Obviously, she gave offering from her heart and soul, and he made a particular note of that. Look at the whole scene with all the trumpets. We're teaching on sounding a trumpet as a Jewish idiom is the name of today's show. Some men sought to be honored by other men. So what did they do? They took a large amount of coins. They dropped it in to those trumpets, and it made a lot of noise as it went through a narrow mouth and a large bottom. So it was sounding a trumpet. They wanted, we're back to Matthew 6, 1 to 4, exactly. They took a bunch of coins and said, hey, I'm going to let everybody know I'm a big giver. That's supposed to be between you and God. But I'm going to take a bunch of coins, clank, 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 and be like, man, this guy's like somebody hit a jackpot, and like all the money's pouring out. And they go, whoa, that guy's giving a lot of money. But that could shame you if you only went dink, dink in yours. Yeah.
So that's what sounding a trumpet meant?
Exactly.
That is awesome. That's not what I would have thought.
Because they did that in the synagogue, and they had the same attitude out in the street with that kind of giving. They put it in a particular one of the 13 trumpets, and they put in a large amount of coins, bang, 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 sounding a trumpet, and Jesus vigorously opposed that. He said, I don't want you to sound a trumpet when you do a charitable deed like the hypocrites do in a synagogue and in the street. You be a big giver between you and God. Now, on that note, they had something that's virtually unknown in Christianity in the temple. It was called the Chamber of the Silent. The Chamber of the Silent. And they had a particular box there. They had an area where you can come in there. Only one person at a time could go into that chamber of the silent. Whether you were rich or whether you were poor, it made no difference. Only one person was allowed in at any given time. One only. So nobody else would know what's going on in that room. Those who could would leave a contribution and the money would go in. And that's all it would be. And those who had need could reach in and they could take out of the chamber. The sound would be virtually the same. You'd hear some jingling and jostling around, but you didn't know if the person was giving or receiving. Chamber of the silent. So you didn't know if the person's receiving a blessing or giving, if they had financial need or they were financially affluent and they were giving. So the person did not know outside what was going on. It was very discreet. It was protecting a person's sensitivities and sensibilities. Further, the giver would give, but didn't know who he's giving to. The one who's receiving did not know who he is receiving to, so there's no indebtedness. If you met somebody and they handed you, let's say, a $10,000 check, how do you feel the next time you see them? Do you feel obligated, indebted? If they did something wrong 5 minutes later, are you able to call them to account? Or, my God, they gave me $10,000. Did they buy your integrity? Did they buy your silence now? Did they buy a piece of your ministry now? Well, you know, we don't talk about homosexuality, sir. We don't talk about abuse, sir. We don't talk about my sleeping around, sir. Here's a check, by the way. Have a nice day. The Chamber of the Silent. It was nobody's business. You gave, you gave. You received, you received. The one giving didn't know who's receiving. The one receiving didn't know who's giving. You walked out, you wouldn't make, you know the difference if you were the richest or the poorest man in the world or woman. Right? Amazing, the Chamber of the Silent. So I find that fascinating to see that. And how is that being done today? It's not. You stand up on stage and say, I'm giving $25,000 to this ministry, and everyone's going with a big applause. That shouldn't be done. How does the person feel who's just writing a check out for $5 and wants to be a part of it something, even though the announcer may buffet that to some degree, saying, well, we'll accept any amount you give. Somewhere that may taint or tinge or you feel belittled, it doesn't matter at all. We had a recent election in this country. Well, one vote doesn't matter, does it? Oh, excuse me. Yes, it does. And vote really does matter. And this Chamber of the Silent, I think, is a phenomenal thing to institute into everyone's place of giving and worship, to have a place on the side where if a person, oh, they're going to steal it. Listen, that's between them and God. You bring a person to a new place in their life of integrity, of respect, and of honor. And if you're a giver, if you need someone to clap and pat you on the back for giving, you're in the wrong business. Mm-hmm. And you should repent and don't give. Or go to a chamber of the silent and give and get yourself repented before God first. So be careful that you don't sound a trumpet in the synagogue or in the street as the hypocrites do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Until next time, we bid you
Shalom.